Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Once again, yeah, I know we have to pause to get the technology working here. There's a book that's been written by a gentleman by the name of Dane Ortlund. Dane Ortlund actually is a very prolific writer. One of the books that he has written and a podcast that he has done, which I enjoy very much, is one on the book of Psalms. He reads every psalm and then he writes a commentary on it, and he's published a book that I think I've shared some of that with some of you in some of our Bible studies. But he also wrote another book, and that book is called The Heart of Jesus. The title is The Heart of Jesus, How He Really Feels About You. How does Jesus really feel about us? What is his heart? What's in his heart when it relates to us? What does he want us to know and do based on what's in his heart? What is in his heart? What is his heart like? I'm sure that there is a lot more than what I'm going to be able to share in this message about Christ's heart. But there are some very important attributes that I believe that's in his heart that we should know, that we should believe, and that we can experience. One of the very first things that Jesus says to us, and the scriptures actually, as you come in the door of the church, He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And this is the part that's interesting. He says, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. He says, come to me so that you can have rest in your souls. He wants us to know that his heart is something that is not only gentle for us, but it's lovely. His greatness is a humility that is able to melt us when we rest in him. His power makes us bow down, but his beauty, his soft heart, makes us want to sort of collapse into his arms and give him our burdens and be taught by him. Do you ever feel that way where it's just, I just need to be in your arms, Lord Jesus. I'm having a tough time. Jesus he's gentle, it says. He is lowly. He is humble in heart. And it's all so beautiful. It's a beautiful thing that we can go to him. What he's really saying is, he's saying, let me love you. Rest in me. Let me love you. Let me save you. Let me protect you. Let me care for you. Let me live in you. Let me be your refuge. Let me be your strength. Let me heal you. This heart of his is not only gentle and it's not only humble. It's a heart that is able to empathize with us when we are going through tough times. In Hebrews it says, we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us. And empathy is more than sympathy, right? Empathy is a genuine connection in understanding what a person is going through. It's easy to have sympathy for someone, but it's very difficult to have empathy if you have not experienced a similar situation. You see, Jesus is open, he's there to sympathize with us and empathize with us in all of our weaknesses. Whether it's fear, anxiety, lowliness, anything that might make us feel just a little bit weak, He is right there with us. He's in our pain. He's Jesus Himself has suffered pain for us. And interesting about it is that He looks at us and He sees us and He wants to. It's almost like you have a wounded body part. You know, you get a little cut on the hand or whatever. I know we get some more major items than that. But when something happens, what do? We nurse it, we bandage it, we protect it, and we give it time to heal. And that's what Christ does with us, if we let Him. As we are part of the body of Christ, as we are one of His children, when we hurt, He hurts. That's His empathy for each and every one of us. See, His love is a special kind of love that He cannot hold it back when He sees us in pain. When He sees us suffering, He is suffering. The interesting part is that He will never abandon us, no matter what. He will never abandon us, cast us out, leave us, because His heart is loyal and trustworthy. And though I'm not a Facebook fan, okay? I'm sorry, I don't do Facebook, all right? But on Facebook, I guess there is a function there where you can be unfriended, all right? And I don't know how that works, but if you want to be a friend and that person doesn't want you to be a friend, you get unfriended. Well, Jesus will never unfriend you, no matter what. And though He says, come to Me, you know, sometimes we say, well, Jesus, I know You want me to come to You, but I really don't deserve it. And He says, no, come as you are. Come as you are. I'll never cast you out. I'll never unfriend you. He's saying, let Me love you. And we say, but the more of the ugliness that you discover in Me, the sooner you're going to get fed up with Me. And that happens, you know, we're just, you know, I know it was talked about already today that Satan is doing these tricks on us these days. It's not tricks, it's evil. But he's, you know, some of his tricks are casting doubt. He really wants you to rethink things. And he wants you to, he stirs up the dirt. And he wants you to get to the point where you're just saying, well, and I'll just read it again. Well, Jesus, you know the ugliness that's in me. You know, why don't you just get fed up with Me? And Jesus says, no, that's not going to happen. He says, because in John chapter 6, He says, look, all those the Father gives Me will come to Me, and whoever comes to Me, I will never drive away. I'll never drive away. Whoever comes to Me, I will never cast out. We cannot. There is no reason in our hearts that can convince Jesus' heart to just close it down and say, that's it. There is no reason that exists today or ever that God or Christ would cast us away. You know, he didn't die on the cross and suffer and be resurrected so that, yes, we will too will be resurrected. But He didn't say, okay, now that you have salvation in front of you, now that I have died for you, guess what? You're on your own. He didn't say that. He says, no, I want you to, I'm with you. I want you to be in Me and Me in you. He paid our debt. Because He wants us, and He wants us forever. And the thing is that He's always interceding Where is Christ right now? He's sitting at the right-hand side of God the Father. And what is his job? He intercedes. He's constantly being aware of us, what we are doing, where we are going, what we are thinking, what are our goals, what are the challenges that we're having. It says in Hebrews, he says, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to do what? To make intercession for us. He's there constantly. He's there forgiving. He is there redeeming. He is there restoring. He is there constantly reaching down into those places in our lives where sometimes we might be ashamed. But we can take our shame to him and share it with him. And he's going to say, what? Let me love you. Let me love you. See, he has the heart of what I would call of a very tender friend. He's never too busy to listen. It's interesting when we think about different things. In the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, he says, some people says, I am rich. Or you, it says, you say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. And regrettably, there are many that may feel that way in this world today. And then we're cautioned, but hang on a second. You don't realize. You think you're wealthy and you don't need anything? No, hang on a second. You're wretched. You're pitiful. You're poor, you're blind, you're naked. But then Christ comes back and he says, look, just a few verses later, he says, look, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they will be with me. Come to me, he says. Let me love you. Let me love you. The other attribute about his heart is that he is merciful. He is the God of mercy, the Father of mercies. Let him be the Father of mercies to each and every one of us always. It says, when we think about that heart and that mercy that Christ has in his heart for us, we can go all the way back to the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, when the Lord, and this is God speaking, this is the I am. He says, the Lord, this is as he passed in front of Moses. As he was passing in front of him, the Lord is speaking. He says, the Lord, compassionate or merciful and gracious God. Here's part of his heart again. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He is faithful, maintaining what? Love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. That's the heart of Christ. He wants us to come to him. His heart is humble. His heart is merciful. His heart is slow to anger, abounding in love, interceding for us, never even thinking about leaving us. He is gracious and faithful. The interesting part is that his heart has, when we receive him into our lives, he's able to redeem what I would call the ugliest parts of our past, and he just transfers those or transitions those into the most beautiful parts for the future. It says in Ephesians, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it's by his grace. It's by his heart, his merciful, loving, gracious heart that we have been saved. Can't earn it, can't buy it, can't do all penance for it. It's because his heart is full of mercy, because Jesus Christ is mercy. He's already rich in mercy, not just for now, but forever. For you, for me, for always. You know, sometimes, you know, we sort of, when we look back in our past, before and after receiving Christ in our lives, we may say things, we may do things that, frankly, just make us cringe. We become ashamed. We are down in the dumps. We think we have just the insults, the shame that we have brought not is on upon us, but on God or Jesus Christ himself. And interestingly enough, what God is saying and what Jesus Christ is saying and the heart of Christ is saying is, the things that might make you cringe the most are the things that make me want to hug you the most. It means his mercy is not slow and cautious. It's free flowing. It's like a flood that comes upon us. It means that whatever problem we have or whatever sin has beset us, the very things he loves the most is to work with us and to forgive us. Why? Because it says in Romans chapter 5, you see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God did what? He demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us, and he's asking us to love him and to let him love us because he died for us. God doesn't save us and then decide later to abandon us because of what we do, say, think. Of course, he wants us to obey him, to love him. He wants us to be with him in heaven. And that's what conversion is all about. That receiving of Christ and our conversion is a guarantee to be with him in heaven. And so John, in the book of John, Christ is trying to convince us, or does convince us. He says something very clear. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. He's saying, let me love you. Let God's love remain in us. Let God's love be a complete love. Let him love us completely. As Dane Ortlund wrote in his book and asked in his book, how does he feel about us? What is in his heart? How does he feel about us? He has the perfect heart. It's the perfect heart of God. And his heart is humble. It is gentle. It is full of empathy. It is faithful to the very end, to the uttermost. It's always interceding for us. It is gracious. It's rich in mercy. And what is in his heart is he wants us to let him love him. That we let him love us. You know, I know that sounds interesting or simple, but when we don't trust him, we're not letting him love us. When we don't surrender to him in our daily lives, when we don't put our lives there to glorify him, we are not letting him love us. Because his love is all encompassing. It is a merciful love. It is a humble love. It is a gentle love. We are loved from the perfect heart. We are loved from the heart of our Lord. So let me just pray. Great God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, all the praise and glory and honor belongs to you. May we remain in your love, and may we let your love love us, and we love you in return. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your continuing intercession. We thank you that we can come to you no matter what we are facing each and every day. We thank you that we can come to you when we are grieving, when we are mourning, when we are troubled, when we are anxious, but we can also come to you with joy. And that by your sacrifice, it is just amazing that we can have that hope to look forward to being with you and to being with you with that perfect heart, the heart of you, your perfect heart, that we can enjoy that time with you for eternity. We just thank you and praise you and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.